The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning, how are you?
Boker Tov, Howard, very good, thank you. How are you doing today?
Excellent, thank you. Let's start off with the question of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Is he going to be able to continue to function as a head of government in a country that seems to be obsessed to some extent with the corruption or the alleged corruption?
Well, I mean, the stories are swirling. And, you know, just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, it really does. And this is a whole series of stories, which some of which are related to each other, many of which are unrelated to each other. Originally, they'd opened, I think, three or four cases of alleged corruption against the Prime Minister. Now there are numerous new cases that have been opened. The case of, you know, the corruption involving Arnon Milchin James Packer, and the case of the so-called Bezek case and the so-called submarines case, the German submarines case. And now there's a new case that's come up about the fact that he was trying to convince a district court judge to drop a case against his wife, Sarah, in return for which he would give her the position of Attorney General. In fact, even the judge president of the Supreme Court has confirmed that the district judge involved confided in her about the story, although she didn't have first-hand evidence that could prove that, in fact, what was told to her had, in fact, taken place. Now, the latest story is that a director general of the communications ministry and somebody who was formerly a very close associate with Prime Minister Netanyahu has been convinced to turn state witness, and his evidence is being drip-fed into the public domain, some of it even more shocking than things that we've heard before. So it seems as if, though, the Prime Minister is just unable at the moment to escape from these allegations of fraud, of bribery, of breach of trust, of inappropriate behavior, call it what you wish. And, you know, in my view at the moment, he is simply unable to function as Prime Minister, even though he's trying to continue business as usual. But it does raise a lot of questions about our democracy and how things are actually working at the moment. Because, you know, on the one hand, we absolutely all agree that if any of these allegations can stick, that the Prime Minister should be held to account and he should be punished as the law requires. This kind of behavior, if any of it is proven to be true, is completely unacceptable, not by an ordinary citizen and not certainly not by a minister in government or a prime minister of the country. Absolutely not. And not by his wife, who seems to have been very involved, you know, according to these allegations. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, it seems as if though a lot of these stories are coming from people who have an axe to grind, who have a reason why they wish to discredit the Prime Minister. They might have been mistreated by him. They might have some sort of complaint against him. They might feel badly done by in terms of having been fired for their jobs or whatever. They do seem to have an axe to grind. And so it seems as if though all of these stories somehow come from a place where people have got a point to prove, and some the people have just got a certain objective in terms of trying to damage the Prime Minister. And I don't know that we're getting the right balance here. And the issue for me is that every small allegation, every little story is being drip-fed into the public domain. I think that these are things which should be kept close to the investigation team, should not be filtered into the press every day, something new, when we have absolutely no way of determining whether the stories that are being fed into the press have any validity or not. We are just being fed allegations and rumors and, you know, stories from one person to another, and we have absolutely no way of filtering out what's real and what's not real. And I think that this is not a way to conduct an investigation. If there are valid, you know, allegations against the Prime Minister, charge him. Let him leave office. Mm-hmm. Charge him in a court of law. Let's validate the information in a court of law. And then let's know what the truth is from what the speculation is.
What's also interesting is that Israel is very, very different in the sense that any hiccup or if the Prime Minister of Israel sneezes over somebody, it's going to be reported in the worldwide press across every media outlet. There's a world obsession with Israel, which really does add strength to your point that maybe investigate this, understand what this is all about, charge him if necessary before feeding this to the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that the Prime Minister just returned back from the Munich Security Conference last week, trying to, you know, conduct business as usual. The week after next, he's due to go to the United States to address the AIPAC conference of presidents of the major American Jewish organizations, the annual, you know, he spoke at that conference yesterday. He's been invited to the White House the week after next to meet with President Trump. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to conduct business as usual. But the swirling allegations around him and him appearing on TV in order to try to defend himself, it just makes you feel that he's not engaged on issues relating to Israel and our country, and our security situation is as serious as it ever was. And I don't know that you know, we as a country can afford to have a situation like this where our Prime Minister is rightly so defending his own honor, defending his own position, defending himself and his wife and his family. And all of that means that he's not conducting government business. And I think that that's a problem. I think that we really need to rethink this. We need to say if there is a charge to be answered, let him step down, let him answer the charge in a court of law, let the public know what's true and what's not true, and let somebody else get on with running the country. The irony, of course, is that as these things build up more and more stories, the more and more popular he becomes. The public opinion polls show that he's would, if there was an election held today, that he would gain more seats in the Knesset than he had before.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, a couple of our listeners saying, you know, give the guy a break. He's done so much for Israel. Somebody else saying, you can tell this is all blown out of proportion. It's also such a low blow to have a go at his dead brother who gave us his life. I think that's a separate issue. That's about this new movie in Tebby that's being released. And Mervyn saying, just as the left in the USA is after Trump, so the left in Israel is after Bibi. Are we getting that sense that this is, and I guess you're saying that it is, that there might be very, very real allegations, in which case they've got to be followed and he's got to be charged and the course of the law has got to be taken. But on the other hand, people are utilizing it for political expediency.
There's no doubt there's a lot of political exploitation going on. No doubt at all. And, you know, as I've said before, there are more than a few people running around Israel who would love to see the end of Netanyahu and would do absolutely everything and anything in their power to instigate it. Having said that, this guy, Filber, who's just recently turned state witness, is regarded as not a left-winger trying to bring in Netanyahu down, but rather somebody who is very, very close to Netanyahu and is being presented in the press as somebody who until 2 days ago was prepared to go to jail for not disclosing information about Netanyahu in terms of staying loyal to him. Now that his story has broken, now that he's turned state witness, and now that some of his stories are breaking, people saying, listen, this is very, very close to home. This is somebody who comes from the same side of the political spectrum, who 2 days ago didn't want to see Netanyahu damaged, but all of a sudden now is coming out with these stories. I mean, he does have an axe to grind, because according to the stories that have been related in the press, he has not been very well treated by Netanyahu nor by Sarah during the time that he worked closely with Netanyahu. And he was fired by Netanyahu, actually, for supposedly not being professional enough, according to the stories.
It was interesting how those people turn. So often those are the ones that turn state witness.
Yeah, I mean, so therefore people are starting to think now that some of these stories really do have validity, and they're not just political expediency trying to be exploited in terms of trying to bring him down politically. But, you know, I think there is so much smoke swirling around now. there is so much smoke. Where there is smoke, there is fire. I think we're almost getting to the point now where we have to say, whether or not you are guilty, you can't continue to function as Prime Minister anymore. We need you to step down. We need you to, you know, to defend yourself. If it proves that you are innocent of all these charges, come back. But right now, we need somebody to run the country and not various political cases of corruption, legal cases of corruption.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Do you believe that Bibi Netanyahu should step down, should step away from office, let somebody else run the country while he deals with these allegations? Moving on to another topic, Israeli military intelligence is being credited with preventing a serious airline attack originating in Israel. What are the details of how this attack was prevented?
So this was actually an attack that was originated in Australia rather than in Israel, but Israeli military intelligence were obviously involved.
Right.
And what happened, as we understand it, was that Israeli military intelligence had picked up some intelligence that had come from ISIS, that they were planning to send a bomb onto an Etihad plane that was flying from Sydney in Australia back in July of 2017, July of last year. And the way that the story unfolds is that there were two brothers involved, Australian brothers, and one had become influenced by ISIS. The second one was apparently given a meat mincer, which had been set up as a bomb. And he had unwittingly, going to be carrying this homemade bomb disguised as a meat mincer onto this Etihad plane originating from Sydney. And the story goes that they even went to the airport with this luggage, with this meat mincer in the luggage, and for some reason they never ever checked it in. It seems as if though the luggage was then returned with one brother, the second brother got on the plane, never returned to Australia, but the Australians were ready for them because Israeli military intelligence, and particularly the unit known as 8200 Shmoneh Matayim, as they are known in Hebrew, Shmoneh Matayim, the unit 8200, which is a technological unit underneath the military intelligence directorate. They were the ones who apparently had identified this particular plot, had made the Australians aware of it. The Australians were ready, so this bomb was never ever going to get on that plane. But as it was, the bomb was never actually sent onto the plane, so the Australians didn't have their opportunity to grab it in the process. Of course, you know, the Israelis are saying that now the military intelligence has decided to release the information that it was actually Shmoneh Matayim, a unit 8200, that was responsible for garnering this information and passing it off to Australia.
What was the reason that they actually released this to the public?
It's not very clear why they decided at this stage to release the facts. I think that this was a story last year that had become known. I think it was something that was in the public domain. The Australians' media certainly spoke about it. But the thing that was missing was the link to the Israeli unit Shmoneh Matayim. And they've now decided to just release that last little link. The IDF decided, for reasons which are not clear to me at the moment, that they decided that they should make it clear that that story, which was released back last year, actually relates to intelligence that came from Shmoneh Matayim. And at the same time, Shmoneh Matayim was also talking about the fact that they had worked to thwart a huge cyber attack that was going to be launched against private and public bodies in Israel from Iran. And apparently there's a very close monitoring of the Iranian apparatus and a very early identification of any attempts to launch attacks against Israel and Israeli websites and Israeli cyber defense systems. And this was neutralized before it could even be launched. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes in dark rooms by Shmoneh Matayim and indeed other units in the IDF. Cyber defense units in order to pick up on all of this.
And thank God for them. It is 8 o'clock. We do have to leave it. Tomorrow, Anthony, if we could chat about... Oh, no, hold on. Are you on tomorrow?
Not tomorrow.
Oh,
Monday,
not tomorrow. So Monday, if we could pick up on the subject about what's being reported in Israeli press about the Israeli embassy downgrade. Lots of misinformation, but we can pick up that conversation on Monday. It is 8 o'clock. That is Anthony Rock with the Israel Report. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, Anthony. And
Shabbat Shalom.
We'll speak
Take
to you
care.
On Monday.